Well, we're continuing into the book of Judges and our subject. We've been talking about Gideon. We're going to finish up on Gideon tonight, but there's some very important things because Gideon followed God, and really all the things that Gideon went to, really in a very short period of time, God used him in a very powerful way. And last night we ended it, the fact that during the conflict when God had led him down against the Midianites, and dealing with those, the Midianites and that stuff, he went down against them, and how God supernaturally put him into a panic. They were killing one another, and they left. And then we looked at the fact that then really Israel had to go. They had to go to war against those people. They didn't absolutely just do nothing. So they did have to go to war, but we looked at Gideon, and really Gideon became a leader through that. Tonight we're going to look in an area of Gideon because it deals with after the war, what happened, and we're going to find out as we look at here, we're going to find out that there was things that Gideon, that he had wisdom in, but really an area he made a big mistake. And I want to talk about that this evening because it's an area that people make the same mistakes today. It's one of the things we learn from these people. The things that were written, the Bible tells us, the things that were written in the Old Testament for Israel was written for our admonition and for our learning. So if it's for our learning, then therefore there's things we should learn from these. And we're going to do that tonight. We're going to look at we're in Judges in the 8th chapter, and we're going to start out on the 22nd verse here. And it says, then the men of Israel said to Gideon, rule over us, both you and your sons and your grandsons also, for you have delivered us from the hand of Midian. And then Gideon made this statement, which he was really wise. This is a wise thing he said. But Gideon said to them, I will not rule over you, nor shall my sons rule over you. He said, the Lord shall rule over you. And which really was a piece of wisdom, because we found out later on, if you follow out through and go into it from Judges, really, you would go into the book of Samuel, and 1 Samuel, and you found out that Israel got to the point they wanted a king, which God didn't want them to have, but which cost them. But this is a really wise thing that he did, is instead of taking the place of wanting to be a king, you do something and people have the tendency, and even today, they do it to people in ministry and everything else. Somebody does something and people want to put them on a pedestal and make them, whatever they want them to be to them. And really lots of times it sounds nice what people want to do, but most of the time people don't realize it, but they're doing it for a very selfish motive. Why don't you rule so I don't have to be responsible for stuff and you take a responsibility for things. We want a king, you turn around and do all the stuff to take care of us and the battles and all that stuff, and we'll stay at home and, we'll watch. And it's not a good thing. If any time, like in reading history, you'll find through history, generally people do that. They're looking for somebody else to take responsibility for things. And you have to make sure that you're not doing that. We know in life, sometimes you have to take, everybody has to take responsibility. But one of the things is we don't want to get yourself over to wanting somebody else to do what you're responsible for, because it isn't going to help you at all. Is learning that is people get over to it today. They expect sometimes, I know in the ministry, people think, well, you go ahead, you learn and you teach me everything and I don't spend any time doing it. Well, it ain't going to work that way. It's not. It just doesn't do that. I mean, even when I was in, whether it's Bible school or regular school, if you're only going to get to go as far as what's said in the classes, you're only going to go so far in life. I mean, it's just, if you aren't learning out besides, I mean, life's an education, and it is all the time. I find that people like me, I read stuff, I read, I'll look at technical stuff and new innovations and stuff. I like to read to see what kind of innovations, things that are coming up, things that they're doing. I just like to know what's going on around out there. And, to me, to learn new things is really a good thing. Because life gets hard for many people as they get older, because what happens is they expect life to say they were at the same place. I hear these people all the time talk about the good old days. I mean, my mama was one of those. She was always talking about the good old days. And then when I'd sit down to her and talk, not because, I knew a lot about, what their good old days were. And there weren't good old days. They were bad days. They were tough times they went through. And she would talk like that was good old days, because as things changed, she didn't. And that's what's hard. So she said that was a good way to live, but she didn't realize she could have lived better in the time that she lived in. But not learning. She's still trying to do everything. And there's things that you can't do anymore. There's things that you have a hard time doing it. Like she wanted to do it. You can't get certain things, and you need, those are things in life you have to face. You know, they don't build certain things anymore. I know, just like in a church, I'll never forget years ago when we went from making audio tapes and went to CDs. You know, there were some people, I mean, it was like, you know, the devil was taking over or something. You know, it's just like, you know, oh man, I really like tapes. I said, man, I hate tapes. They're lousy. They mess up all the time in your recorders, and you go through things and stuff. And you go, but change. You know, to them, those were the good old days. And really, they weren't at all. I said, CDs was so much nicer. I said, you put it in and you can hear it. And then, you know, the things come. And then after a while, they have other digital ways of doing things that are even better. And now the CD people are, oh. You get it. And it's funny, but you have that. But everything in life is like that, you know. People, you know, like, well, my old car was a lot better. I could, you know, work on it. And I just tell people, your old car wasn't better. When it was cold, it didn't start half the time. You had a choke. Don't give me that rod. I said, I get in my car. I said, it's 10 below zero, and it starts up like that. I said, 10 below zero, you didn't get your car started for 2 days. Don't tell me about this. You know? They say they're like synthetic. What do we need synthetic oils for? Because they don't freeze up. I remember in my lifetime, people going out to start their cars and the engine was frozen because the oil froze. It got so cold. And their engine, they couldn't get it started. And so it's like, hey, you know, I don't have that problem anymore. So, you know, in life changes, and it's the same way, you know, we grow and develop in the Lord. It's something that you want to do, and taking responsibility and learning. It's like with me, I find the more that I learn, there's a lot of things become easier for me in my Christian walk, because you have a better understanding about things. So always be a person like education. I always love to learn. I mean, I just, you know, I don't have to go sit in classes to learn. I'll go sit and learn. I'll do it myself. I just... It's the things that you just got to motivate yourself to do. But we find out here he was wise in the things. You know, there was a covenant. You know, we're in a covenant today through Jesus Christ. And Jesus is our king and priest in our covenant today. And so, really, we have a Lord over us. We need to understand that is a fact of... That's been lost in a lot of Christianity today. Christians... Generally, well, whatever they see well to do, they do. They don't know if God wants them to do it or not. They don't learn. And we're going to find out as we go on here in reading, because then there's another thing that comes up and happens here, and we're going to talk about, because it became a large problem, and it lasted for a long time and caused a lot of trouble and made life bad for people. When somebody thinks they're doing something good because they're not following God's plan. And so even though Gideon knew about this, as you know, he said, well, God wants to be our king. But we have here in verse 24, it says, then Gideon said to them, he said, I would like to make a request of you that each of you would give me an earring from his plunder, for they have gold earrings because they were Ishmaelites. Now you see, the Midianites were Ishmaelites. Ishmael was the son of Abraham. So these were Ishmaelites. The Ishmaelites ended up, they were fighting against Israel and that stuff. So, they became enemies of Israel. But it says, so they answered, we will gladly give them. And they spread out a garment, and each man threw into his earring from his plunder. Now, I want you to think about the plunder that they took. Remember how many men were killed? And all of them wore a gold earring? Be a lot of gold earrings. Lots and lots of gold earrings that these guys had. So the fact that they gave Gideon some, maybe it wasn't anything compared to how many gold earrings were out there. So there was a lot of them, plus other plunder too. And he says, so he said, each man threw into it the earrings from his plunder. Then it says, now the weight of the gold earrings that he requested was 1,700 shekels of gold, besides the crescent ornaments, pendants, and purple robes which were on the kings of the Midianites. And it says, beside the chains that were around the necks of the camels. says, then Gideon made it into an ephod and set it up in his city Ophrah. And all Israel played the harlot with it there. It became a snare to Gideon and to his house. Says, thus the Midianites were subdued before the children of Israel, so that they lifted their heads no more, and the country was quiet for 40 years in the days of Gideon. Now, we want to talk about this because what it says, they made an ephod. Now, there's lots of times in reading, you know, the Old Testament especially, and even certain things said in the New Testament, if you don't understand the ordinances of the law and what they required and what God did, you won't understand a lot of things you read in the Bible. Because like here is this, how many of you know what that ephod was? See, most people does. It was very important because the ephod was a garment. In fact, it was a vest-like robe that the priests wore. It was on the top part of their garment that they wore. And it covered like, it was put over their head from the shoulders and like down to the waist, and it was connected to the bottom part of their robe area that they wore. And what it was, God, the only one that wore that was the high priest. The high priest was the only one prescribed by God to wear it. So it was the high priest. Now, on this thing, there was some gold chains and that stuff it held. It had two onyx stones on it, and the two onyx stones it had, there were carved on each stone six names of the tribes of Israel. All 12 were on it, were worn on it. And then it also had, and they were set in gold. They would be set in gold. The chains were made of gold. And then all this was made of pure gold. They would make it pure gold on the, for the high priest. And then on the breastplate, what they call a breastplate, had 12 stones on it, which were represented each tribe of Israel. It was a different precious stone was used. And they represented each tribe of Israel. And the whole thing of it is the high priest wore over his heart the nation of Israel. He held because he was the one who went before God for the children of Israel. So what we're dealing with here is this, is he turns around and makes an ephod. Now, number one, I'm sure, see, he thought, I can just see it. See, God spoke to him and talked to him and used him. And so he gets over in the thing of like, gee, I can hear from God. Why do we want to go down to the tabernacle at Shechem? Why did we go down there? You know, we can hear from God here. Now, over the years, I've had people say that to me. Why do I need to go to church? I'm a Christian. I can hear God for myself. So, yeah. But God didn't make the system like that you hear God for yourself. Because this one thing is I'm just going to tell you. There's things you will never learn yourself from the Bible. Never. It's like myself, there's stuff. Why would God put teachers in the church if people could just know everything themselves? It wouldn't ever happen. If your kid came to you and said, hey, I don't want to go to school because I can learn myself. I'm sure you would go right along with that. But see, in the same way, here he is. Why? God spoke to him. It's very interesting because if you read historically about the ephod and the high priest wearing it, it was really a supernatural thing. God would speak to the high priest, and you'll find like in David and that stuff and different other ones, they would go to the high priest when they wanted an answer from God. So many times like going to war, they would go ask the high priest, what's God saying? And he would speak to God and God would speak back to him whether to go or not. And they literally have from historical things. They said those stones would light up. And the high priest would know whether God was saying yes or no by the stones that were on there. So, but understand this. God designated, and this is one thing you need to understand. God designates how he wants things done. We don't. Many people today do things that they say they think are very nice, but it isn't what the Bible tells us to do. So we have the same thing. See, I'm sure Gideon thought he's really doing a good thing. You know, I'm going to make this ephod here. We'll hear from God, you know. See, I don't know who all was wearing this thing, but the only one that God ever designated to wear that was the high priest. Nobody else was designated to wear it. And we find it says the people, then they played the harlot. In other words, this is no different than worshiping another god. See, we don't think about it in this manner. I see today people pick up practices and stuff and do. They say, well, you know, we're doing these things. Yet the word of God is contrary to it. And they say, well, I'm a Christian. Does God think that? He didn't think them. They're making. Well, hey, you know, we can make one just like down there the priest wears. We can do one. We can get the jewels and the gold together, and we can get some nice cloth, and we can do the thing, and we can have our own. You'll find through that as you read through Judges. If you read through the book, you'll find that even some of the priests did that. They went along to be priests. Decided they're going to do their own thing with the priesthood. Just because they were the sons of Levi, that did not mean that God called them. God told them specifically where they were supposed to worship, specifically how to sacrifice, specifically, and who does the sacrificing. Saul, think about this. Saul lost his anointing over doing a sacrifice that was supposed to be done by the prophet Samuel, and he went and didn't wait for Samuel to do it. He'd only been king for 2 years on that thing alone. Where he stepped out of his office and decided he was going to play God. I can do it. I can do a sacrifice. And he did a sacrifice. And he did the sacrifice. When Samuel arrived, Samuel said to him, "Because you did this, the kingdom is going to be ripped out of your hands." See, he stepped outside of what God called, and God set a pattern with Israel in their covenant, who and what was supposed to be done and how it was supposed to be done. And people just couldn't pick it up on their own, but people do that. If you read through, you find in the book of Kings and in Chronicles, one time where one of the kings came along and he said, you know, he knew God. He went into the temple and he said, the priest, he said, "I can offer incense just like anybody else." And he did. And he immediately turned leprous. during Moses' time, a group came along and said, hey, we can follow God. We can burn incense just like the Levites. What are you guys trying to run the show here? 125 of them got out their little censers, went up to the tabernacle, lit their censers. Fire came out of the tabernacle and burned them all up. In other words, we need to know this. You know, under grace, we see things sometimes don't happen for a long time. But eventually, even in this case, we're going to find out what he did there. His children paid a terrible price. Because one thing it does, it leads. Now, another thing, when you get off in this, I watched it, like when I came in the kingdom, I got born again in 1980. I lived in, you know, I was around Christianity as a little kid a lot, seeing what was going on. And watched the things of people and changes. And over time, you know, it's like today when we sit and I look at like some of the groups and some of the denominations and that stuff, how far they have strayed away. And they didn't stray away over, you know, just overnight. But you could see it coming for decades. They would just get a little further, doing a little more things their way, instead of what the Bible says. And you'd say about it, and here's one of the things that when I came in the kingdom, and people do always do this. Well, God understands. Yeah, he does. That's the problem. God understands, and you keep messing in the wrong thing. You open the door of the devil, you may have to live with him. Mm-hmm. See, people don't realize that. Doing wrong is, you know, it's like in anything. I mean, it's not like that today, but I mean, it used to be when you took tests and you got the answer wrong, it was marked wrong, and your grade got lower. Today, I'm not quite sure. They'll probably change the test. Everybody gets an A. But is we need to understand, God don't change in how he does stuff. And there's a cost. You know, the Bible tells us in the New Testament, God's not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. And so there is a loss of fear of doing wrong, and that's a terrible place to be. Gideon then had the law. They knew what it said. He knew about the ephod, but he just thought, well, you know, God talked to me, so he immediately judges the fact that he can just go do this. But I'm sorry, the law would have told him clearly, you can't do that. He would have known, the high priest. That's down there. You don't do this. But he assumes, because God used him in a certain way, that now certain things no longer apply to him. Oh, I've been around here. Yeah, we got grace. So living right don't apply to me anymore. Things don't apply to me. We need to be careful in these areas of what we do. As many times people come along and things happen like they say, why did God? When God didn't have a thing to do with it. People make, do things that cause them enormous problems. And especially here, because we find out that the scripture says that the people played the harlot. Well, you'll never find it any place in Scripture where it talks, where God talks about the children of Israel being in harlotry, that that was a good thing, or that was just something. In other words, we're going to find it. It is said again as we go in and look at this. Remember, this is why there's one of the things that you do. You know, don't just bypass the law in the Bible. Sit down and read it. Listen to what God said they were supposed to do, because you can't study the Old Testament well if you don't know what the law says, because things in it, the law, this is what it's being dealt with. And understand this: God didn't deal with the nations in the same way he did with Israel. Israel was always more responsible before God because they had the law. The law was given to them. God dealt with them according to what they were given. And so, but if you understand the things about the law, you'll understand why certain things happen to people. And just like in this incident, we're going to find out that things are not going to turn around. God really is very merciful here by letting this thing go. But we find in the same pattern is like we have King David. We talked about this before, King David in his walk with God. But his son Solomon started off very well as king, but ended up really lousy as king. He ended up building temples to other gods for all the wives he married, and whatever god they worshipped, he built temples for them. Well, God in his mercy told him that judgment was going to fall on, but it wouldn't fall while he was there, and because of his father David. It wasn't because he is good, but God said, but on your sons, it's going to turn bad. And it turned bad immediately for his son. Things went downhill quickly. And we need to understand this. This is why you want to walk right. You want to live right. If you care about your offspring, you better live right.
That's right.
Amen.
If you care about your offspring. Don't have children if you don't want to. Don't have children if you don't want to raise them following God. Don't have children. I'm just telling people, because we're living today. Our children today are nothing but the product of the offsprings of their parents. They can scream about the kids all they want. They can yell about them. The ungodly parents produce even more ungodly kids. That's just what it does. I mean, we can say anything and talk anything we want. The Bible's proof of it. It's time and time and time again in the Bible you follow it. And we're going to find out here what happens is really, it's a sad situation happens here. Now we're going to read, because Gideon went on here. It goes, we'll pick up down here, that in verse 29, it says, then Jerubbaal, says the son of Joash, went and dwelt in his own house. He said Gideon had 70 sons who were his own offspring, for he had many wives. And he said and his concubine who was in Shechem also bore him a son whose name he called Abimelech. He said, now Gideon, the son of Joash, died at a good old age and was buried in the tomb of Joash, his father, in Ophrah of the Abizarites. He said, so it was as soon as Gideon was dead that the children of Israel again played the harlot with the Baals and made Baal Berith their god. It says, thus the children of Israel did not remember the Lord their God, who had delivered them from the hands of all the enemies on every side. Nor did they show kindness to the house of Jerubbaal or Gideon in accordance with the good he had done for Israel. So we want to see what happens here, because now he says, so the people went from worshiping God their way to now just worshiping other gods. But see, what Gideon did headed it toward that. See, you open the door, you know, when you start worshiping God, we don't worship God our way. You know, we don't do what we want to do. I had a minister one time come say to me about a thing, and said, about doing a certain thing. And I said, well, really what you're talking about is something unscriptural. I said, you know, I said, God tells you what he wants you to do. And he said, well, I want to do this for God. I said, you want to do that for God. I said, what God requires of you isn't interest. You want to do it your way for God. This is what I want to give God, not what he asked for. I want to give him this. This is what I want to do. And he never saw from the fact that really, He's in rebellion of God. Really, it's idolatry. It's the fact of, no, I'm going to come and worship God my way. It's one of the things to do. I find, to me, maybe it's just the way I am. I just like the, you know, I can follow the principles in the Bible a lot easier than making up my own religion. But see, many people do. There's a lot of Christianity today. They call it Christianity. It's not Christianity at all. Many Christianity at all. It's man's Christianity. It's based in man's ideas and plans. And, I mean, people aren't born again or saved. They say we're Christians, but they have nothing going on. But they have all these things. As Paul wrote in the end to what it was going to be like in the last days. He said people were going to have a form of godliness, but deny the power. Well, the power of Christianity is new birth. They don't have it. They'll have form just like, look like it's something of God. Just like they did here with Gideon. They had a form. Well, that form led to end up worshiping other gods. Aren't they doing that today? I'll tell you, I can take you among Christian groups and they, Muslims have, I've been told by people who are Christian, Muslims have their way to God, the Buddhist has his way, and we have our way, but we're all going toward God. Oh yeah. This stuff is set out. Oh yeah, you turn around and say, you know, hey, it's all about God. You know, we're all following the big G. General Mills, I don't know. You're probably better off than go along with a lot of this stuff. But, you know, we're following along. But one of the things is they open their, you don't follow God, you lose God's protection, and this is what's happening here. They're losing God's protection. It isn't God doing it. People say, well, God did this or God. No, it's the way that they walked. You know, you do things, I mean, just naturally in life, if you do certain things that can endanger you, you know, in the same manner. As people today, you know, it's like, well, God loves us and he'll do this. You know, my mom loved me and my dad loved me, but I did some of the dumbest things that caused me problems. And it wasn't because they didn't love me and they were trying to protect me. I just did dumb things. You know, it's like people need to understand this stuff. It isn't a matter of love. You know, parents say, yeah, I'm going to protect you, your kids. I'm going to protect you from everything. Well, get over it. You just lied to your child. You can't do that. You can't protect somebody from everything. And all you do is drive yourself crazy trying to protect somebody from everything. And there's a life of faith to walk. It makes it a lot easier. Hallelujah. But it's one thing, it's one of the best things you can do, is just follow God, because it'll bring a blessing. Because I want you to see this, because of what happens here in this, is we go to Judges, the 9th chapter. Now, Gideon dies. Now, they stay at peace for 40 years. Personally, I think they're just at peace as a fact, is just because Gideon did, God just honored that from his standpoint, because we find out he has the people worshiping like they shouldn't be. He has the people, instead of going down to Shechem where they're supposed to go down to worship God after their sacrifices, they're all just doing their thing here. Yeah, we got our thing. We got our place here. We're doing it. So God's plan in the tabernacle isn't important anymore, you know. We got our way of worship. And I'll be the high priest. And I'll be the... See, people start doing things. But they do that stuff today, so we can't throw rocks at them and say, how stupid are they? We got plenty of stupid today. To match up. Now, in the 9th chapter, we find here, and here's a really sad thing that happens, but it's been set in motion, all of this, and it says, in verse 1, and Abimelech, who, remember him, he was the son of Jerubbaal, went to Shechem, that's where he lived at, he said, and to his mother's brethren, and communed with them, and with all the family of the house of his mother's father, saying, speak, I pray you, in the ears of all the men of Shechem, whether it is better for you, either that all the sons of Jerubbaal, which are 70 persons, in other words, there's 70 of them, reign over you, or that one reign over you. Remember, also I am your bone and your flesh. And his mother's brethren spake of him to the ears of all the men of Shechem, and all these words, and their hearts inclined from Abimelech, for they said, he is our brother, and they gave him 70 pieces of silver out of the house of Baal-beorth, wherewith, see, they were worshiping Baal, remember, they're over there, And then he says, wherewith? He said, Abimelech hired vain and light persons which followed him, and he went unto his father's house at Ophrah and slew his brother, the sons of Jerubbaal, being 70 persons upon one stone. Notwithstanding, yet Jotham, the youngest son of Jerubbaal, was left, for he hid himself. And all the men of Shechem gathered together, and all the house of Milo, and went and made Abimelech king by the plain of the pillar that was in Shechem. You see, God's intent was that Jerubbaal and his family would be blessed. But see, things were set in motion. Things started that should have never started. Never started. And yet, it led to this. Abimelech, he was one of his sons. But see, Jerubbaal got him worshiping over there. No, he goes, get him worshiping over there. This is what we're doing. God said they were playing the harlot when he did that. And it all started and it ends up, he dies and all his sons die. See, I believe there's cause to things. There's cause. You know, I see this in life, and I see it happens to many times of things, is people don't realize the cost. And this is why, this is all through the scripture, you'll find these kinds of things and these kinds of things that happen to people. And is one of the things is why it's so important. It's just like with this. He got off doing something and opened the door to idolatry. It never leads to anything good. And his family, what was going on in his last years? They may have not had the Midianites, but I'm going to tell you, the devil was in the camp. The devil was in the camp. It ended up with the destruction of all of his, just think, all but one of his sons. All but one son. It's amazing. You look at his heritage, where was it? It's gone. This is one of the things, most people don't live for the long run. They don't, you know, most people today, we think of what is good now, right now at this time. What is the thing to do? I'm convinced of this fact. I think Gideon thought he was doing a good thing when he made that ephod. He thought he was being spiritual and being religious, and he thought he was a good thing, you know. He's worshiping God, you know, he's going through his motions to worship God. But it isn't like God commanded them to do. He didn't take time to find out what God wanted. You know, he just bypassed the priesthood and just did his own thing. We'll find out that really that's what happens all the time through Judges. The book of Judges is man doing his own thing. God has a plan that he set up, but man don't follow the plan. And that's one of the things is, you know, I just encourage people. It's just the blessing is following the word. That's where the blessing comes from. That's the blessing of God. God's not against people. People go against themselves. You know, in the Old Testament, everything ever happened, they blamed God. Well, God did this and God did that, but the whole thing was what they did. And God did it, and they blamed everything that God was doing. Because when you read through the book of Judges, and we're going to go over into some things. One of the things we're going to go into is Samson. And we're going to find out about Samson. We'll show you some things in Samson because of understanding the law, what goes on. Samson getting his hair cut wasn't on the top of the list of why he lost his power. And we need to, because people don't pay attention. People pass stories on years after years without reading the Bible to find out if the story is actually true and what is said is true. And it's really important because I really believe these principles continually show that if this stuff was written for our admonition, God gave this for the purpose that we would learn from it. Then because we're in a new covenant of grace, it don't mean we're exempt from these things happening to us. They couldn't, or they wouldn't be for us. Why would we read it? What, tear the book, things up, throw them away? I mean, why would we even have it? I don't believe like a lot of people do about the Bible. They act like, well, the law doesn't exist. Well, the law does. I mean, the law is going to judge the ungodly. And if you live ungodly, you're going to be judged by the law. Whether you like earn grace or not, don't matter. You live under the law, you're going to be judged by it. And so we need to understand. That's why we reap what we sow. We need to understand is no matter how much God wanted to bless us, I'm sure this, God really wanted to bless, because we find out from the promises made under the law, God wanting to bless a man in his generations after. So God couldn't have been involved in this thing with Jeroboam. He set this thing up. He did a thing and didn't realize that it was going to cost his children for what he was going to do. But if he had read the law, he would have known. You know, they do just like in the government. You know, they make laws. And they don't consider just because you're ignorant of it. you don't have to obey it. Well, I thought it was this. Well, see, but that doesn't matter. It don't matter. They'll judge you according to what the law says. And, you know, sit in the court and say, well, ignorance of law, that don't count. Read it. So we all have to do that. And you know, especially from Israel was available because we found out, like with David. David had a good thing in mind. He wanted to bring the Ark of the Covenant up to Jerusalem. There would have been the city of David, where the city of David was. He wanted to bring it in, which just was right on the edge of where Jerusalem was. And he wanted to bring it there, which was really a good thing. God didn't mind. He made a tent for it. And really, because the Bible talks about the tabernacle of David. See, I think God inspired him to do it. But he went down and he had his idea of how you're going to move the Ark of the Covenant. And he said, well, what we'll do is we'll build a new cart. You know, we won't set it on a brand new cart. This is new cart religion. If you build a new one, you know, you're making, and you put the Ark on it, that stuff, and we get these oxen to pull it, that stuff, and we pull it down through that. We're going to take it up there. Well, they're going along and the ox stumbles and the Ark shakes on the thing, and one of the priests reached up and touched the ark to keep it from falling off the cart, and he died. And David got mad at God. I'm doing a good thing, and why don't you do this to me? And then David turned around and read the law and found out, oh, you're not supposed to do it that way. It's a new cart. The Levites are required to carry the ark on poles. Oh. The ark was never carried by anything but man. See, it's like today, we're the temple of God. We are the one that carry. We're the carriers of the ark. We, God lives in us.
Amen.
Most of Christianity today is all outward. It's not inward at all. They just new cart Christianity. That's what it is. It's new cart Christianity. It's not big. People don't find out what God said, how he wants something done. And this is important. These things are writ for us. So we can't negate these things because we're in a new covenant. God, we say we're in grace. Grace don't get you away from handling the things of God poorly. They don't stop that. Because eventually, it's in life. I remember my mom used to say things, yeah, you keep doing that, you're going to have a problem. Why do you? Yeah. And she'd write one day that, you know, it'd fall on you and you just, okay, I guess I'll quit doing that now. You know, you keep doing something you shouldn't do. And, you know, it's just, but finding out what the rules are. And that's what we do. We look to learn because the more I understand, the more God can bless me.
Amen.
The less I know, the least opportunity God has. And it goes like so far. It would be like, you know, you wanting to take a job or something required a certain amount of education to get that job to be able to do certain things. It's like maybe you want to get a certain amount of pay. Well, you might have to learn some things till you could do that. Just because you want to do that don't mean you qualify for it. But it's the same way with God's Word. If you don't know it, you can't believe for what you don't know, and you can't walk in the light of what you don't know. And if you start trying to do things for God based upon the knowledge you have and you don't have the right knowledge, you'll just develop another religion. And that's what people do. They say, well, you know, God knows their heart. And I say, that's what the trouble is. He knows their heart. It ain't right. He knows it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we let little babies get away with things and little kids get away with things because, you know, they don't know. They don't. But you can't keep living that life with God. You got to grow up one day. You got to grow up. You know, I remember when I first started off as a Christian, and I was just hungry and into the Word, and God sent Wanda and I to a church, and he sent me there, told me I was supposed to go to the church, was a pastor, was starting off a new church. He said, go help him start that church. I thought, what are you sending me? I'm just a young Christian. Well, I went there. It was all these older Christians there. I mean, people had been around. Some of them had been a Christian longer than I was in age. And, but you know, they were about, you know, maybe not even in kindergarten in Christianity and life. And I watched, and I got around these people, and I realized the things they went through in life and what they did because of their ignorance of not sitting down, not learning. You know, they think, well, I know, I've been a Christian now since, you know, 1871. It is, you know, it's one of those kind of things that say, well, you'd never know it. So you'd surprise me if that happened, you're a Christian. But they didn't know. They never grew up. They never developed. And people get over where they don't want to learn, but always take the time, because we find through the Bible where people did things, even like with the temple. Many times in if you read scriptures, in the operation of the temple, they would do things and begin to do things under their own ideas and their own plans concerning things of how they thought God would want it, when God specifically laid down how they should do it. And that's why we want to find out, what does God want? To me, it's very easy when I find out what God wants. And lots of times, it's a lot less complicated than what people are doing. People are trying to do. And because it isn't, God's not out to get people. What people do is open themselves up to demonic powers to come against them. Mm-hmm. They do it. I learned that myself. You know, I don't blame God. If I set myself up for it, I have nobody else to blame but me. You know, I've learned with things of even, you know, the Bible don't tell us to walk in love with somebody and to do that if they're doing something wrong, you know, and just don't retaliate against them. It's not saying that because it wants to make you a doormat. It keeps the devil from getting in your life. Because you respond to them wrong, and I'm going to tell you what, don't be surprised things happen to you. When you get over in that area and you start holding grudges and doing things like that, I'm going to tell you, that's the quickest way to get the devil into your life. That's one of the quickest ways to end up sick and not being able to get rid of it. Oh, you get over in those areas. People do that. And I watch. Well, they did this to me. I know. But don't get in the retaliation thing. Don't go to that place. You know, most people that will do you something wrong and you're mad at, they could care less.
That's right.
And they're living happy. And you're walking around with a grump on you. They could care less how mad you are. That's and the person that's having the most problems is the one that's mad about it. And they're over there smiling. I learned, you gotta let stuff alone. It isn't, you know, your flesh rises up. You want to go slap them. You know? Sure, that's there, but don't go do it. Because I'll tell you, that is one of the quickest ways to let the devil get in your life. Cause you problems. There's nothing worse than individuals who walk around there, never got over certain things. You know, there's some people, I had to deal with people that, in life, that, they could tell you, I mean, years ago, they could sit and tell you, and I mean, they were in their 80s, but they could tell you everything somebody ever did to them. And I used to think, man, get this old, who cares? You know, so and so did this to me, or that person did that to me. I'd say, you know what I did to me? I could list a whole lot of those. The trouble I caused me. But people remember that whatever somebody, this person did this and this person did that. Because it leads to things. And we don't want, as Christians, we don't want to go to that place and go live in that place. Because we want to keep the door shut. And these are the things about, when I read these kind of things, to me they're heartbreaking. I would hate to think that I would be a curse on my children's life. Mm-hmm. Walking around thinking I'm doing what's right. Well, did you find out if you were doing right? Well, it seemed this is the way they do it in my church. I don't care how they do it in your church. Read the book. Read the book. Let God reveal things to you and walk in light of the Word. Walk in the light of the Word. That's where the blessing's at. The Word is always the blessing. And so you want to stay there. Don't make things difficult to you. See, with me, I want my children, my grandchildren to be blessed. Hallelujah. You know, I want to be a guy like David. They might deserve to have something wrong to them. And he says, they're going to be blessed just because you walked right.
Amen.
Instead of, you were stupid, now they're going to pay for it.
Right.
So you don't want to go there. See, that's why, you know, hallelujah, I want blessing. I can say this. My father brought blessing into my life, and not because of it. When I asked the Lord, when I got born again, I asked the Lord, how come I lived? I had so many wonderful opportunities. Did I? Didn't. And I said, why am I alive? He said, you're alive because your father, he was righteous before me. Mm-hmm. I was blessed because of my dad. I wasn't alive because I did anything. Too many people don't know that they're alive today. They think, oh, you know, we look at other people. You didn't realize why you might be alive. There was somebody who else did right.
Amen.
Thank God. Thank God my dad walked right. He said, you know, and the Lord, when he spoke that to me, he said this to me. He followed up and he said he used a thing that I could look it up in the scriptures because is it accurate? He said, Noah was righteous before me and I spared his whole family. He said, the scripture never says that his children and his wife were righteous before him. Well, I looked it up in the Bible and he was right. There's no place in the scripture say that his sons or his wife was righteous. It says he was. They were spared because of his righteousness. He walked right and spared his whole family.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And God told me he was going to, because I did what he told me to do, he was going to bring all my brothers and sisters in. See, there's covenant wrong. You want to change people's lives, you need to change. That's what the Lord taught me. That's one of the things that I've learned as a young Christian from the time that I was really a baby Christian. That's one of the things that God taught me immediately. If you want to do something about other people's life, well, you walk before him. Don't expect of anything of anybody else if you don't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you walk right, it'll bless other people's lives.
Amen.
My children today have not had to go through things in life because me and Wanda walked right before the Lord. And they were blessed through it. They were blessed. And so you want to do that. You want to pass blessing on. See, I believe in reward to come. Everybody's trying to get rewarded here. I like the eternal stuff. Here is all temporary.
Mm-hmm.
Eternal reward? You know, it's those who end up in heaven because we walk right.
Hallelujah.
Those who... It's not all this... Ain't the houses and lands and all that other stuff that don't... That's temporary. That's nice here. It's okay. But it ain't got nothing to do with eternity. It got a thing in the world to do with it. And so, hallelujah. Abraham followed God. He went into a land and God said, I'm going to bless you and make you a blessing. And he said, all the nations of the earth are going to be blessed because of you. Well, see, he followed God. If he wouldn't have followed God, all the nations in the earth wouldn't have been blessed. He followed God. And you're blessed today because of a guy named Abraham. Backing up 3,000 was 4,000 years. Wow. I'm glad somebody walked right so I can get... Hallelujah. Father, we just want to thank you tonight, Lord God, for your goodness and your mercy. Thank you for teaching us these things. Thank you for giving us understanding so that we don't get into the messes, Lord God. Lord, God, we've tripped through enough things in life in our ignorance, but Lord God, you have always been kind. And I just am so thankful for all the years you just continued to teach and continue to give me learning and understanding in the Word, Lord God, to overcome things. Hallelujah. Along the way. Hallelujah. So, Lord God, we want to be the offspring of Abraham, a person of faith, Lord God, where our lives are a blessing to others. And so we thank you for teaching those things, giving us instruction. Lord, we see where others tripped, and Lord God, but we're not criticizing Gideon. Thank God for all that he walked in and knew. Hallelujah. But I thank you that you've given us more. And we appreciate it so much in Jesus' name. Amen.